Man of Halleck, stop your dreaming. Can't you see the spear points gleaming? See the warrior banner streaming to this battlefield. Men of Halleck, stand deciding. It cannot be ever steady. For the battle were not ready, Western never yield. From the hills rebounding, let his war cry sounding. Summon all at Campbell's Hall, the mighty force surrounding. Men of Halleck, come to glory, this will ever be your story. Keep these burning words before ye. Western will not yield.
Croeso and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to fortify your thirst for history and to lay foundations of stone to prop up your knowledge of Wales gone by and besiege the weakness inside that says, oh, I can't have a beer now. I'm Jack and I'm joined by my stonemason, Franco, fellow builder of the Tales for Wales fort, a.k.a. castle, a.k.a. fucking iron fort. I don't know, a fortification of some kind.
So well.
I know. I'm
that
right.
Final hurdle, you dumb bitch.
A regular Colin Jackson, am I right?
Sports reference, right? 20
yes,
years
right
old.
On the gate.
Right?
Am I right? No one, maybe in the year below us, knowing who that is, right?
I got off with a girl when I was about 15 in Colin Jackson Avenue or Jackson. It's a place where he built.
What do you say? She pulled off a wig. Surprise, Colin Jackson.
Colin Jackson. No, I think he's like he has family in Roos. And he either like has a street named after him or he built the street. And I remember
I've definitely been told that with that he used to be in Roos and that's why there's a street named after him. Yeah. Also, when you said he built the street, him on his hands and knees, toiling in the soil.
Yeah, and I remember getting off with a girl and then afterwards she went, this is named after Colin Jackson. And it's always stayed with me. So it was one of my early forays.
God bless you, Colin. Yeah. God bless you, mate.
God bless everyone, man. Robin
God
Hood.
Bless you, Colin. And God bless that girl who let me.
I got news to tell you. What are the things I love most in the world?
Beer, salt.
Yeah, all right. You've got it already.
I've
not added salt to any of my meals in over a week. I've obviously if I'm cooking, but like as in post. So I'm trying not to use it as seasoning, but say if I made like chips in the air fryer, I'd always salt them. Or if I was having like any of my seeds, like I'd always have salt, especially when I'm doing a diet. I cut out like fatty food and I just replace it with salt. And I'm
your,
a salt
your sodium
feed.
Levels must be fucking through the floor, just well, like, absolutely dropped off.
You know what? How much I fucking love salt. Like I mean, I had salt to pepperoni pizza. I'm trying to get back into boxing, and I was like, I saw this like article on the Guardian about how salt is like a nonce, a little fuck you. So
the silent killer,
the silent nonce, as it says on the I kicked the habit. Like it feels like when I quit smoking. Like I've tried for ages to quit smoking.
You sound like a heroin addict who's like in the first 24 hours going, it's so easy. I've just done it. I've nailed
it for a week, man. Like when I quit smoking, right? I tried to quit smoking loads and loads of times and then it didn't. And then until one time I got so hungover and I started a new job. And by the time I realized it had been 3 days and I was like, oh shit, I've gone 3 days. And then, you know, I've gone 5 years now. I went like 2 days. I was like, no, don't add any salt to anything. And every day, so say if I was having poached eggs, I usually put a lot of salt on it. And I would just put chili flakes on it. Like everything I'd have salt to a day. And then I realized how much salt I was having. And I can't believe it. You've changed your very character. Yeah, although I can't stop farting at the moment, so I don't know if that's salt related.
For the audience, before we got on here, Franks was saying how he's like, oh, I'm so, it feels like bloated. I just don't know what's caused it. That's the change, mate. Your body's,
craving.
No salt. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, like
you put salt on a slug and it like shrivels up. It's like, yeah, that's what's happening from your inside. Yeah. Now you're not doing it anymore. You're just expanding.
I need to like dissolve my body. But I've fallen apart. I'm meant to be walking to meet you tomorrow and the boys in town, but my foot is fucked. But I have been doing a lot of exercise and like,
I was just saying, what have you actually done to your foot?
I'm just trying to get back into like a shape so I can have a fight next year. And I'm doing like lots of, push-ups and squats and stuff. I think I'm just like moving too much on my ankle.
Injured in the training, bodes well, mate.
Yeah. Oh man, I got knocked out in the first round. Who were you fighting? Just myself.
Yeah. Rolled over my ankle, knocked my head on some gym equipment.
Yeah, I sneezed too hard. My ass fell out.
1-0 to the gym equipment. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I am like 34 now. So like, I don't know. I never, do you know people like wake up with like a bad back and shit? Like, I never wake up with aches or pains.
Mate, I know all about, don't even get me started.
I don't have a single ache or pain.
Oh, mate, I've had an ache nor a pain. I remember, you know, when was that? Many moons ago now.
August
time, right? I have had like something fucking with my sciatic nerve since then. And I don't know what it is, but it's like a shooting pain, like down the back of my thigh. And like, it's fine if I'm sat down, fine if I'm stood up. In between, getting up, getting down, oh baby, does that thing twinge.
Do you remember when I was training for the last fight I did, and I was showing you my boxing routine when we used to go to the gym a lot, and I showed you wall sits when you sit against the wall and you have to like...
Oh, fuck that, man. Yeah.
You did one day.
You make me angry.
You're such a chill person. Like, I generally very rarely see you get angry. And you were so grouchy when we did it. You're like, it's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. It fucking really hurts.
Every day I try and go like, come back in with a renewed sense of like, oh no, come on. This is good for you, isn't it? It's exercise. 30 seconds. I'll be going, this is fucking bullshit.
I'm not doing it.
This is fucking bullshit. Yeah. I used to, like, with the rowing, I used to hate the rowing, but I could do that because you feel like the I don't know what's it called.
They gamify
like
it, don't they?
And stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and also in your arms, you're like, ooh, but think of my arms after this.
Yeah,
this is good.
Yeah.
When I was doing the wall sits, I was like, this is just pain. This is torture.
Yeah, I don't want a strong ass. Yeah.
Although maybe if I'd have taken it more seriously, my thigh might have been more resilient to the sciatic nerve thing I've got going on.
Yeah. I also was going to mention that Jack keeps having to edit out his inappropriate sexual assault stories that he keeps mentioning on every podcast that we do.
It's happened twice. And also, one of them wasn't even a sexual assault story. It was about children drinking at like 11 years old. And I only had to cut out half of my bit from the last episode.
For people behind the scenes. So I had to say to Jack, I was like, Jack, you keep bringing up really sad stories that aren't really that funny. And you keep saying, I'm harsh. I'm trying to censor the truth.
Yeah, I kept saying, you just don't want to hear the real cold, hard facts. But the thing is, I had a half decent joke, right? And I think for me, it was like the means are always worth the ends. And I was like, whatever the setup, whatever I have to say, no matter how triggering it has to be, my little half-assed joke.
It was like, it was so funny because it was a really like wholesome, not wholesome, but like, we brought,
jolly.
You know, brought Sam on who lives in Barry, who's originally from Barry, and we were all telling like funny Barry stories. And do you want to hear the sex crime stats of Barry? It's like, oh, this seems lighthearted and fun.
I mixed it in. I threw a bit of shoplifting and bike theft in there as well to lighten it. But anyway, for the audience, I kept getting repeated messages on that podcast. I had to edit out a little bit. Frank was like, stop talking about horrible things on this podcast. And then later on, like the next day, I got voice messages, text messages going, yeah, I'm only joking. I mean, I'm half joking. Just maybe don't lighten
stop
up a bit.
Stop doing it. And then the next episode we're going to do is going to be a look back on Wales for 2024. And I text you saying, what are you going to do? Your favorite sex assaults of 2024.
I said, Yeah, what was it? You're back in Tales for Wales. These are my top most five brutal assaults this year.
So,
I'm not doing that. I steered away from crime, actually.
Yeah, I think maybe just, you know, we're meant to be a lighthearted and educational show, and sometimes sex assaults aren't always the most fun thing you want to think about.
I love that. Not always. Sometimes great. Sometimes hilarious. But not all the time.
Should we do a Patreon shout-out?
Well, I've learned my lesson. That was me told.
Scolded. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Right. Let's have a look. We only Patreon boys. Where are we?
I can fill in the background.
Right, we're on. Oh! Guess who's up this week? A boy dear to our hearts indeed. Josh Good. Shoshy baby.
This is actually a friend of ours. So this is like a person we know in the real world who's taking his cold hard cash off him. And he hates spending money, so he will hate this.
This is such a glowing endorsement of us. If he's willing to part with his shekels...
Yeah,
for a bit of the content.
Everyone we know, like literally everyone, even if they haven't seen him in 15 years, they say, "Oh, how's old T-Rex arms?" Because he's such tight, he won't put his hands in his pocket for a day. Yeah. I'm only saying this to really wind him up because I know he sat at home fuming.
Next time we see him, cheers, guys.
He's only 5'4" as well, so when he gets angry, it's really funny.
Oh, God, that is absolute red rag to a bowl. Red rag to a bowl.
Only joking. No, what can we say for good lip? Well, Josh knows. We have enough.
Should we treat him? Hang on. Should we treat him like another patron that we don't know? Because we've got a million nicknames for him already. So what do we treat as if he's like a new guy?
Should we go through his nicknames? Pedo, Nonced, Wrong One. I thought he'd join in a bit.
Cradle
more than
Snatcher.
That.
Yeah.
I think he said Craig or Snatcher.
I'll make Craig or Snatcher.
So Josh the Good, the Bad, the Ugly. Because that's something. Josh the Good. Yeah. I would say seriously,
film.
I adore Josh Good. He's one of the funniest people ever.
Josh, how about Josh? Yeah.
He's very good. He's one of the people who can just like make you laugh like you did in school. Like, do you know, like those secondary school science class lessons where you just.
I was just about
over.
To say he's a classic science class boy. Isn't
yeah,
he?
Like, he's so funny. So yeah, diolch yn fawr, Josh. Thanks for your cash, mate. Josh, we love you,
baby. We're gonna see you tomorrow. I think tomorrow, not when this comes out, but tomorrow.
Do you know, like, people often say, oh, as you get older, you don't really see your friends as much. We all went to school together. I think that's class, that, right? We all went
to school. We absolutely bucked that trend, didn't we? Like, all of us fucking hang out.
Yeah, we all see each other all the time.
You're probably the guys I see the most. Yeah, to the point of, like, my missus is always like, what do you guys even talk about? Like, you see each other so often.
Yeah, we're lucky. We got a lucky old group.
Lucky boys, lucky lads.
Diolch yn fawr, Josh. Thanks for that, mate.
Cheers, baby.
Yeah. And if you do sign up to the Patreon, you get personalized artwork if you join the highest tier. An episode, everyone who joins on the £5 tier gets 2 episodes a month additional to this. So you get 6 episodes of us all month. And then there's other tiers where you get like a hometown episode where we do research on where you're from and try and find funny stories. And then we do a story about you and the Mabinogion. And also, if you're on the Taylor tier, you get discount for our merchandise, which massive thanks to people who've been buying. This is the first time we've recorded since the link has been out, and it went really well. So, like, massive thanks. I can't believe it. A huge
got
thanks
orders
to,
in. And
yeah, a bunch of orders in.
So, amazing. To massive thanks. Cheers for supporting.
And some of them, so we've had people who weren't Taylor members buy them, but we've been told that there's by Sam that a few of them have used the discount code already. So get involved with that. And a massive shout out to Sam, what a legend he is, from Crusade.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a plug.
Check out the merch if you haven't already. We'll link it in this again. Check out Chris IT's stuff anyway, because he's a ledge. He deserves your love just as much as we do. Maybe a little bit less. Buy our stuff first, and then if you want more, buy your stuff.
Shall I crack on, or should you want a bit more bants? What are you feeling, mate? Do you want a bit more bants, or do you want to crack on?
Have we swapped bloody roles here? We're going, listen, I was going to do it now, but do you want more banter? Would you prefer more banter?
Wait, is that what you did?
You know how, like, I usually go, naturally put in a segue. I just ask outright.
Yeah. Well, should we, I have got a mega long epi, so we could maybe, like, have a little bit more of a chin wag. What are you drinking?
Oh, I'm on the Bud Light at the moment, but because we said we were going to do a little Christmas Patreon episode later, I have brought up with me, I got some apple juice and, like, a little pot of cinnamon with me. To make like a little Christmassy kind of drink. How are you?
That's mad. Well, on that note, this time last year, we did a bunch of Christmas episodes over Christmas, obviously. We did one about like Christmases in Wales specifically, and that was a really fun episode, but we blew our beans and did everything in that one episode. Yeah. So it's quite hard to do a Christmas episode now because we did everything in that episode. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to that. It's a year ago because it's when Christmas is. And we did a Christmas episode, and then we did like some funny Christmas stuff around. Like I think we did three episodes all.
We basically covered all like the old traditional Welsh things when it for Christmas and New Year,
and we also had them,
but we Christmas did, like you said, we did all of them. So
yeah, we should have really had a bit more foresight. But tonight I'm drinking. Currently, I've had a couple of Heineken 0%ers. And then I've had my first can of Carlin, and I'm also in between that. I'm drinking my Carlin and my Heineken, and they taste exactly the same. It's why I like them so much. So I'm having 0%. Yeah, but I'm just literally going between the two, having a sip of Carlin and a sip of Heine.
Oh, this is how it starts, isn't it? You won't be drinking at all soon. You'll be like, I
think the health benefits outweigh the fun. Well, it's funny that we're the only society who actively drinks poison. Isn't that weird?
Did you know, actually, on the top list of drugs that are bad for you, alcohol's like number one every year, you know? Yeah. I know. I don't care. It's fucking a choice.
Now, you know I will never, ever give it up, but I'm just trying to do small changes and
Christmas ain't the time to do it, mate.
That's I put weight on during my diet. I just don't fucking get it. Like eating, living better. Life is like, no, mate, you're not having that.
It's fine when it's Christmas because you get like big baggy jumpers and stuff, and you can hide it all.
We are kind of on the Patreon episode recently, Jack told a really funny story about how when he moved primary school. Someone had written Jack is fat times two. So sign up to the Patreon to hear the full story of that, because it always makes me laugh. And your shoplifting days. I think we covered the shoplifting on there as well.
Oh God, we did. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. All the skeletons from the closet were coming out.
All right, I'm going to quickly. Well, you chat away with me whilst I go get a new curl in, and I'm about to start my episode. Oh,
you're still on, then you're not leaving me.
No. We'll just.
I was going to mention the Roman baths. I went to the Roman baths the other day. But is that something for next episode, perhaps?
How many minutes? We're about 15 minutes in already, aren't we?
Yeah, 15 minutes, 16.
Yeah. Should we build the foundations of the episode, a.k.a. Harlech Castle?
Harlech Castle, yeah. Should. What made you want to do Harlech Castle? Is it just because of Men of Harlech?
I think we should start. I think like medieval history is like my favorite. So I wanted to like, we've done quite a few of the big battles. So I thought, well, what else can we cover around that era? And I thought castles would be a quite cool one because there's six, there That's were like 600 one, yeah. castles in Wales, more castles per square mile than anywhere in Europe, most possibly the world. And I thought, well, that's a big part of Welsh identity. And I'll cover that in a little bit. But I also love Harlech. I thought it was fucking amazing when I went there. It's such a cool. It's like it's one of our best ones, and I say our. That's not even ours. But I'll cover this all in the when we come to it later. I would massively recommend people go to it, but I'm gonna say at what time of year. But I'll get to that in a bit.
I remember when you went about the issues.
So anyway, I'll crack on. Oh, actually, before I do, just one bit of public service announcement. I had to catch a bus the other day because I walked into town and then my foot was really hurting. So I was going to get a taxi back, but because I live so close to town, no Uber would pick us up. So I caught a bus back. And on the bus, Nessa from Gavin and Stacey does the voices for the next bus stop. She's like, all right.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, next stop is Cardiff Millennium Centre. All right, now sling your hook. Like, she does, it was so funny. So that's quite fun.
Is that like a promotion or something for the new
I don't know, man.
It must be.
I don't know, but it was really funny. I was like, oh, that's quite fun. So she, every single stop, says it. Yeah, but it's like, it's just funny that she went into the studio to name, like, next up, Trim Murphy. Just, I don't know. Yeah,
don't touch, we can't afford.
Oh, oh. Yeah. Just sing your luck now. Anyway, so the basics of Harlech Castle, it was, I say, like one of our best castles. It wasn't built by us, like most of the castles in Wales. It was built by the English.
They were tools of oppression.
Tools of oppression. So it's built by Edward I at Longshanks, and this makes it a non-native castle. So all the castles in Wales are divided between native or non-native. A native is one that's built by a Welsh prince or king. And then non-native is built by a Norman or an Englishman or, you know,
oppressive good people of Wales.
Honest folk of Wales. And the location is Harlech in Gwynedd in North Wales. And it was built between 1282, which is a sad year, which is when Llywelyn Llywelyn died, and 1289, although it might have started it probably started in 1283 in earnest, but it's seven years to build it. And we'll have started this episode with the rousing rendition of Men of Harlech, so this is a note for me and you, Jack. We have to start this episode with that song.
Of course, yeah.
And which has become a massive Welsh anthem, and it's sung at the rugby and the football at international and club level. And it was also made hugely popular by the best film ever made, Zulu. There's a fantastic scene. I do think we have, like, we reference Zulu, Robin Hood, Zorro, and Braveheart, and Hook on this thing so
constantly.
Often.
Yeah. Anything that's even, like, tangentially can be linked to it. We're like, oh, yeah, Hook, I got a hooky.
But that scene, that scene in Zulu when they sing Men of Harlech, it's genuinely one of the best cinematic moments.
It's class.
It's fucking amazing. And it was the lyrics about Welshmen being surrounded and besieged and never giving up despite the odds. So the music first appeared without any lyrics, was written in 1789, and then the lyrics first appeared in 1830. Apparently the original lyrics were about the seven-year siege of Harlech Castle between 1461 and 1468, when the castle was held by the Lancastrians against the Yorkists as part of the War of the Roses. And this really fucking peeves me, because I hate that Wales was so heavily involved in the War of the Roses, which is often labelled solely as an English civil war. But it was a war, similarly to the English Civil War later on with Cromwell. Loads of that happened in Wales, so it's it kind of
died. Ballast and Fagans, mate.
Ballast and Fagans, biggest battle to ever happen in Wales. It was a part of the English Civil War. And it just kind of, and it makes Wales a non-country when you start, like, ignoring its role in history.
Yeah, we're almost, it's the classic for Wales see England, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, the other way around, sorry. For England see Wales, sorry. Yeah.
Which is people don't
lay
know
off the old Bud Lights.
If people don't know, when the old encyclopedias were written, they were such disinterest in Welsh history that they would just say, so it'd say like Scotland, tell you fucking everything about Scotland, Ireland, and then when it came to Wales, it would just say see England, as in like see all the history of England. That would be enough to cover what happened in Wales.
We were passive in our own story back then, but not anymore. Not since Wales came along.
So during this siege, it was commanded by Constable David ap Ieuan, son of Baron of Hendur. The garrison withstood the longest known siege in history of the British Isles. So this seven-year siege was the longest to ever take place in Britain. And it took place between...
It's a hell of a long time, to be fair.
I'm assuming
without food, water, etc.
Because where it's located, it's on the cliff edge next to the sea. So you can, it's one of the places you can kind of restock with stuff. A bit easier than...
Unless you were surrounded on land type thing.
So it took place between 1461 and 1468, and it was one of the few Lancastrian strongholds left and commanded by the veteran Welsh soldier who I just mentioned, David. He's sometimes called Ieuan or Einion. His name's changed, I think, depending on how they spell it. Even while it was besieged, the castle was a hive of Lancastrian operations, and it was a thorn in the side of Edward IV's Yorkist regime. And apparently the men inside the castle were hell-bent on never surrendering and stubbornly refused the king's offer of pardon if they surrendered peacefully. Eventually, though, in 1468, the Yorkists unleashed a full attack on the castle, bombarding it into submission with cannons and the whatnot. And although some of the Lancastrians inside were executed, David was pardoned. But the song's also associated with the earlier besiegement of Harlech Castle. in 1408, which pitted the forces of Owain Glyndŵr against the future Henry V of England. Yeah, so that's a bit more of a more authentically Welsh one. But back to his origins, the construction of Harlech Castle was put was part of Edward I's larger strategy to establish English dominance over Cymru, who are over the Welsh. And we've covered it multiple times, but castles in Wales, they're now like an associated symbol of Wales, but in reality, they were these massive symbols of submission and oppression, but also a remembrance to how prone to rebellion and fighting back the Welsh were. So you kind of mentioned it a second ago, they're signs of the fact that they exist is because they're there to control the people of Wales. But the fact so many of them exist...
It's something I really love about Wales is, like, you know, like you said, the English put so many castles here to subdue us. But even like back to Roman times with the Celts and stuff, you know, with the one in Caerleon and stuff like that, like one of the biggest Roman forts there, because we were such a rowdy bunch. They're like, oh, we've got to put something here to fucking keep these guys.
Do you know, I've been having a bit of a crisis of confidence recently with Welsh history. I was like, is it like so fantastic, or maybe am I hyping up, or like, is it just a series of smaller nations just like defending themselves rather than one big Welsh thing? And it was like really playing on my mind. I thought, hang on, are we just telling stories of smaller kingdoms? And I was like, why does this make it Wales? Because they're not a Welsh. There isn't a certain Welsh. And then I thought, well, no, actually, the language, that's what always separates us from other things, is we do have a shared identity. Even if you're Gwynedd or West Wales or South Wales, they're all speaking the same language, and that's what made them different. I thought, are they any different to like Northumbria, or are they any different to Wessex? But there they were. They were fundamentally different in their laws and their language.
But yeah, it's like you'd be cursing someone across the battlefield in the same language as them. You know, so that's sort of what unites us.
And language carries
warring together.
Language is so important to culture, and, you know, it's the way you communicate, you speak to each other. It's the basics of being a human. So I was going through this big thing the other day, kind of a question, is it that impressive? And then I started thinking, we survived the Romans, we still speak Welsh. We survived the Angles, we survived the Saxons, the Anglo-Saxons, the Vikings, the Normans, the English. And here we are, Nidalis Siarad Cymraeg, we still speak Welsh. And I think that's 2,000 years, and we're a fucking tiny place. So I was thinking, are we over-egging it? And then I started thinking, well, all those like points I just made came into my head, and now I'm like, no, do you know what?
And then you just started singing Niamh Oh Hi, didn't
you? Niamh Oh Hi. And that's the thing. I think sometimes when I see that stuff, like, it's kind of been hijacked when like Ponzi people sing it really posh. I'm just like, oh, fuck off. That's not a song for you to sing it operatically. And then I don't know. I've just been going through a lot of emotions recently.
Ever since the salt was taken away, you've been going through an existential crisis.
So anyway, like we said, so these symbols of submission and oppression, they're also a remembrance to how prone to rebellion the Welsh were. And there are more castles per square mile than anywhere in Europe, and many of them non-native castles, just written... reiterating that it took so much time and effort and resources to subdue the Welsh. And like I said, the castle's construction began in earnest in 1283 under the supervision of the master mason James of St. George, who was appointed personally by Edward I. And the location of Harlech was strategically chosen for its defensive advantages. It's situated high up on the high ground overlooking the Irish Sea, and below it are these sand dunes, making it quite hard to walk across. And if you've not been, like, I massively recommend going. The town is stunning.
I do need to go.
It's really pretty.
Great, I mean, from first hand from you, but even before you went, I've been told.
It's lush. It's like, it's got like a floating bridge to walk to it. It's sat on this, like, it's built amazingly. It's kept in really good condition. It was never like, you know, slighted when they like burn them down so the enemy can't have them.
Yeah.
It's in good condition. But just don't go during half term or the summer holidays, because it gets fucking rammed by Mancunians and Scousers and Brummies and people from Wales on holiday. And like when I was there, I was driving around these ancient, incredibly steep, tiny streets. And I went one wrong way and I went all the way down to the beach and I had to come all the way back up. And it was fucking so hard to drive around and stressful, and people just walking into the road. It like nearly gave me an aneurysm.
I was going to say, it's one thing that can... ruin something like that for me.
Yeah,
it's definitely like.
Yeah, well, I didn't go in. It was just too many people, and I said to Emma, "I was like, this place has meant a lot to me. I've always wanted to go there. I've always looked it on Google, and the song Menno Harlech means an awful lot. Yeah. And my mum used to go teach. She used to teach adults Welsh when she started going back to work, and that's where she'd always take them all from Barry. They'd all go from Barry up on the bus, and they'd have a weekend in Harlech to get back to like Welsh roots. And I've always wanted to go. And I said to Emma, I was like, babe, do you mind if we don't go in? Because I just don't want it to be spoiled by loads of kids. kids and stuff. So.
Just yeah, it's not worth my mental health.
So I'm going to go when it's not so busy. But there's this really great Facebook page called Welsh Histories, and in there they mentioned that Harlech is also prominent in the Mabinogi, in the Mabinogion. And on that, buy our shirt. We got a great Mabinogion t-shirt, which is the one that's selling.
Go buy that one, yeah. Yes, please. I think I don't know if that's my favorite. It's definitely. I love them all, but like I love that Mabinogion one.
It's cool. And then there's like I said, it's mentioned that area of Wales and Harlech itself is mentioned in the Mabinogion, and the site of Harlech Castle has strong connotations with the legend of Branwen. So, like, it's always been a very Welsh, intrinsically Welsh and mythological and historical place. The castle was designed...
as well. You know, you said it's really well kept.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just say, annoyingly, like you said about the distinction between native and non-native castles, a lot of the non-native castles are the ones that are kind of the better
quality. Yeah, well, part of that is...
Because they were, A, built later, and B, because a lot of the native ones... were, like you said, damaged, burnt down, whatever, during also, our rebellions and things like
most
that.
Most of the non-native ones, and it took until Lord Rees to start building in stone. Like, a lot of the other ones weren't all built in stone, and these ones here were all built in, like, much sturdier rather than being, like, wooden castles.
Yeah.
But the castle design of this was one iron was the iron ring of fortresses, so it's got, like, these big circular rings, and they're, like, they have domed edges and stuff, so it's like I don't really want to describe it too much, because I do think just Google it, it'll be better than me trying to describe it to you. So have
is
a quick
it like
Google.
Layers of walls kind of thing to like so fence similar to like what they did in is Caerphilly a similar thing where they've got like walls within walls, you know?
So it's the same person, it's the same so built at the same time, I think. But if you look at it, it has these like those domes on the side, and then it's got like a fortress in the middle and a fortress on it. So the outside wall is kind of crumbled away now, but it used to have one big ring, and then the castle was inside that ring, and then those castle walls. And stuff. I'm not very good at describing it. Give it a Google, you'll see on like the
castle
photos.
Castleception. I get you, mate.
Yeah, it's like a castle within a castle, and there's all these turrets that are really hard to but like to scale. And these imposing structure of Harlech Castle was built using local stone and featured a concentric design with the inner and outer walls, multiple tyres, and a massive gatehouse. And the castle was surrounded by a water-filled moat, enhancing like the defensive capabilities. And it was one of several castles built in North Wales by that bastard Longshanks, but they've now been collectively given a UNESCO World Heritage designation. Like that, Conwy, there's some other ones up in North Wales that all collectively for how important they are, have all been given a collective UNESCO back in the 80s. The construction was this really impressive feat, showcasing the military engineering skill at the time, and it crowns this like sheer rocky crag overlooking the dunes below, and it's like you're overlooking this stunning location. You have the Irish Sea literally beneath you, and the beautiful rugged peaks of Aruddy, they rise in the backdrop behind it. And it's argued that the fierce competition from Conwy, Caernarfon and Bay Maris, that this is probably the most spectacular setting for one of Edward I's castles in North Wales. So all the castles he built were really impressive. Like those four there are probably some of the best in Wales.
Yeah, Caernarfon is amazing. I went there like last year and
Conwy's amazing.
It is
as well.
Amazing. And like again, I was like, oh, fucking damn you, Edward I, you know, for whatever you've done in Wales. But by God, did you have an eye for castles? It's absolutely, it's amazing. And like you said, it's in fucking mint condition compared to a lot of the stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, a minute ago you said it was like a castle within a castle. It's described as being walls within walls. So it makes it like this formidable, daunting, natural defences. Like it's every time you think you got past one layer, there's something else. There's a moat, there's a wall, there's another wall.
Yeah. What's the other one that's on like on a cliff edge? Is it Dnevor?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there is.
I think that's a native one, isn't it? Hoel Dda's one?
It might be, or it might have been Lord Rees, but it was built on top of where the original one. Hoel Dda had one, but Lord Rees was the first to use stone. Even when it was completely cut off by, like you mentioned recently, during the rebellion by Mad Dog Ap Llywelyn, the castle held out. And this was in part due to the way from the... There was this 108 steep steps that went all the way along the rock face that were quite hard to see. And besieged defenders could protect it. So it offered a way to be fed and watered from ships from the sea. And the English had good navies. Okay. So when Mad Dog was assaulting it and besieging it, you wouldn't be able to...
Of course, yeah. Like you said, we said in the Mad Dog episode, didn't we? England had a great navy.
Wales didn't have one.
So yeah, that's absolutely perfect for
for
old England.
It's up high on this mountain or like the cliff edge, and then you have these small rocky crocs. And I was thinking, well, why didn't they just wait at the bottom and like kill anyone who tries to? But it's more difficult than that. You've got to get your army down there first, and they don't have the roads that they do now. You'd have to scale down there, and it was built purposely with that in mind, so you could be replenished by the sea, just like Conwy Castle was and Caernarfon Castle. Yeah. Like they could be resupplied by the water.
He was a crafty bastard, that Edward I, even if he was a bit of a bastard, he knew what he was doing.
And from that same Welsh Histories page, I read that even though it was undoubtedly this formidable military stronghold, its primary purpose at the time of creation was more strategic control rather than oppression. Because by this time, he'd kind of won. He'd conquered a lot of... He beat Llywelyn, who was the most formidable one, and there's uprisings since. But at the time, it was more like, right, I'm now using this strategic control so I can look out to Ireland and all this stuff like that.
I suppose it made it easier to not have another Llywelyn come to pass, doesn't it? Because you had all these footholds all over Wales, and not just footholds, but like strategic bastions. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was very difficult. Like we said to me in the Mad Dog episode, they almost got Harlech Castle, but there was like thirty defenders left or something like that.
Yeah.
And even they could hold it because it's such like a well placed and well built castle.
Yeah. So. The completion. So Edward I aimed to establish English authority and prevent further Welsh uprisings, and this castle played a crucial role in maintaining order and securing the region for the English crown. The completion of Harlech in 1290 marked a significant milestone in Edward I's conquest of Cymru. The imposing structure served as both a military fortress but also a symbol of English authority. As we know in the Madoc episode, Harlech was besieged by the rebels in the 13th century, and then once again it was under attack in 1404 when Harlech Castle was captured by Owain Glyndŵr during the revolt to end English rule. And Harlech then became hugely important in Wales. It became Glyndŵr's main residency for 5 years. So for five long years, that was his home. It was this beacon of like Welsh independence and what a free, independent Cymru would look like. He moved his main residence there, his court there, and he also summoned his followers from all over the country to attend this. This way, he set up a part of his parliament. It's speculated that Castle Harlech was where he formerly crowned Prince of Wales and the Presence of Envoys from Scotland, France and Spain. So it's speculated that they came to potentially Harlech for him to be crown prince and for that to be his parliament. Although it's also disputed that maybe it was in Machynlleth, and they often call Machynlleth the ancient capital of Wales because that's where he set up his parliament. But these two places are kind of like either one, they're both really important. So Machynlleth was also in where he had lots of leaders. And I also read that people said that those same envoys went to Machynlleth. And so there's kind of back and forth between where the real one
maybe
is.
They double dipped, maybe.
Yeah. But either way, Castle Harlech was really important. And it's believed that's where he was formally crowned Prince of Wales in the presence of these envoys. But then historians will often be like, no, it's Machynlleth. You know, it's really hard to say, but they know either way, those two are there. There's prominence and
it's one of them, one or the other. Yeah.
And even if it's not the other one, both were important. It wasn't like they just got it wrong. It was like Cardiff, you know, there was a reason why both Harlech and Machynlleth have been considered these really important places. They often think Harlech because it was so safe and really well defended. And then they often think Machynlleth because it was more central to Wales and it was easier to get to other places.
Yeah. That's sadly, thing as well. And then like we were saying about how saying about how the English had these like strategic strongholds and these like insane castles built in a perfect location, you know, perfectly strategic and everything. I suppose that when you do tip the scales and a Welsh army like Glyndŵr does take one of these castles, the English are then in the shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like if you do manage to get that's a historical term, by the way, in the shit.
Yeah. 5 years they held it, and his campaign, you know, it went on for 15 years, but in reality it died down quite a lot in the last like 5 years. So for half of his strength of it, for like when he was at his peak And just after his peak, he held a really important castle, which would have meant a lot to the English symbolically and like strategically. But like I said, it was relatively short lived in terms of modern day times, but in terms of his lifetime, he did a pretty good run. But by 1409, yeah. Harlech was besieged by the forces of King Henry V. And they had this one huge cannon nicknamed the King's Daughter, and it actually burst during the relentless bombardment. It kept trying to like blow it up with a cannon, and then the cannon would have been used so much it blew up. But I don't think what cannon's been around back then, but I researched it and found that cannons were potentially first used in 1327 against the Scottish by the English. So I always like to picture medieval battles like swords and axes and like, you know, very aesthetically pleasing. I don't really like cannons and stuff, but I imagine, and when I researched them, they were really inaccurate, and I mostly tried to be used for siege, but they weren't really powerful enough to knock down big stones. But obviously, as time went on, they became more powerful. But yeah, this huge cannon in the King's Daughter burst whilst trying to break down Harlech.
That's mad. 1300, you said the first time they used cannon against Scotland.
1327.
That's mad. Like, imagine, that seems like way too early. And also, how scary. What's this, like, hunk of metal they point at us? And then, like, a huge boom and someone just getting their fucking body exploded.
But they were, especially when they had the rifles and stuff, they were, like, they called, like, hand cannons, but spelled in quite a funny way. It's like an old English way, and they were incredibly inaccurate. So you could only use them at close range, like a shotgun.
There's like that Instagram thing I think you suggested to me, and it shows like old weapons that have been like preserved really well and stuff. And they've got like things from around that time where it's like a sword and a gun in one hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like the gun barrel like runs along the blade and things like that. I was just thinking, like you said, you only got one shot of those in a battle, I assume.
Yeah.
Like you said, I imagine they were just as likely to fucking blow your hand off as they were to actually kill someone.
I was researching like the War of the Roses weapons and stuff, but to me, it's just, aesthetically, it's just not as cool. Like they still have bow and arrows. They have those like bill hooks, and they're like, they all just look a bit dorky. They all just look in this stupid little like.
Do you think it's like a bit? I feel like it's a. It's almost like a dishonorable thing, you know? Like, I think of medieval battlers like mano a mano with an edged weapon sort of thing. And this is like full of gun out. It's like, oh, you fanny, come on, get your sword out, get your axe out.
Dressed like absolute nerds and tits and like frocks and gowns.
When was the cool knight aesthetic erased?
Knobheads. If you think like, so Owain Glyndŵr was 1400s, and then the War of the Roses, I think it was like the end of the 1400s. Yeah, not even that, 1455. So War of the Roses, they actually had those handguns and like a bit more like artillery and like, but I think that to me is miles away from what I picture Owain Glyndŵr's battles being like. Like the Battle of Pilleth.
Same.
Or Pilleth, and you know those battles where it's like proper medieval horses, you have like longbowmen.
Yeah, you're in the muck with the nitty gritty and like, it's blood and steel and all this sort of stuff. And then you think 40 years later even,
they've literally got rifles.
Getting guns and stuff. It's like, rubbish.
Yeah, fuck off.
And all dressed like knobheads.
You all dressed like nerds. Where was I? I've just scrolled past a lot of my notes. Let me find where I was. Yes, sadly, his time came to an end. Despite its military significance, Harlech Castle has been recognised for its architectural and engineering prowess. Over the centuries, castles witnessed like huge historical events, like I said, Madog's Uprising, Glyndŵr's Rebellion, English Civil War. And I mentioned it's got a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's considered one of the best preserved examples of British medieval military architecture in Europe. So it's like an incredibly cool place to go back and see something that's built 800 years ago. And you could just go around, walk inside. I think there is a charge. I think you do have to pay. And I don't normally like that. I'm not always a big fan of having to pay to go see history, but I don't think it's wildly expensive.
It was the same in Carnarvon Castle. It's like, it wasn't even that much. It wasn't too expensive. And it was well worth the price of admission.
I went to one place.
If you're into that sort of stuff.
I went to one in England and it was like £27. I was like, fuck that. I ain't paying £27 for you to show me something you like. I understand the upkeep
for
and stuff like that.
An English castle? An English castle? I don't think so.
I definitely get like supported like music, but like you don't pay to go to a museum. And to me, a castle is a museum. So I don't think you should make that exclusive to people. All right. Diolch yn gwrando, everyone. and catch you all next week.
Dopal.